key economic releases affecting fixed income yields. Insights into sectors influencing fixed income securities. How AAM plans to capitalize on these themes for your fixed income portfolio. The Portfolio Fix is a podcast series featuring members of AAM's investment and portfolio management team. We will discuss the timely issues affecting the fixed income investments of our insurance clients.
Welcome to another episode of the Portfolio Fix, a podcast series from AAM. My name is Patrick McGeever, and I'm a member of AAM's investment team. Today, as usual, I'll be speaking with Marco Bravo, who will provide his takeaways from the recent Consumer Confidence Report and today's FOMC meeting. And then I'll be joined by Mohammed Ahmed, who will update us on the commercial mortgage-backed security sector as we navigate through this COVID crisis. So, welcome, Marco.
Thanks, Pat.
Before we get to your thoughts on today's FOMC meeting, let's spend a minute on the recent consumer confidence figure. Prior to the economic shutdown from last year, it was running well above 120. But in the last year, it's fluctuated between 85 and 110. So what was the last data point and what does it suggest to you?
Sure. Well, the Conference Board Index of Consumer Confidence came out yesterday for March, and we saw a fairly large jump, almost 13 points to 121.7, which is a new one-year high for the index. Although, you know, still below by about 10 to 12 points below the pre-pandemic level reached back in February of 2020. But nonetheless, we saw two big jumps the last 2 months in the index. And kind of if you look into the subcomponents to get a feel for what's driving consumer confidence, it seems to be primarily due to consumers' assessments or better assessments for their current situation. And that's likely reflects kind of progress on the vaccine rollout, reopening of the economy, and as well as the additional stimulus checks and extension of unemployment benefits from the fiscal package. So we're also seeing consumers' assessment of labor market conditions improving as more people are saying their jobs are plentiful and less people are saying that jobs are hard to get. So this is good news. Improving consumer confidence, I think, bodes very well for kind of future consumer demand and future consumption.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about you, but there's jobs wanted signs everywhere where I live. So I think that's consistent with what you just said. Okay, so let's move on to the news of the day. The Federal Open Markets Committee met today and provided their assessment of the economy. What were the key takeaways?
Sure. Well, going into today's FOMC meeting, market was really expecting no change in policy, but I believe market participants were looking for perhaps some change in terms of the forward guidance with respect to asset purchases and maybe even interest rates. You know, the market's been kind of focused recently on inflation and the potential for inflation to rise. So what we saw after the FOMC meeting is really no change in interest rates, no change in asset purchases. They're going to continue at $120 billion per month. And really no change in guidance as well. Some of the key takeaways from the statement that followed the meeting. The Fed did acknowledge that progress on vaccines and support from the fiscal side has strengthened economic activity and employment. So that's a more positive outlook on the economy from the Fed. And they did state that inflation has risen, but they continue to believe that the rise in inflation will be temporary. Mm-hmm. And so that has been very consistent. And so as far as forward guidance is concerned, and regarding the pace of asset purchases, there really was no change in their statement. And the Fed wants to see, quote, substantial progress has been made towards meeting their goals before talking about tapering asset purchases. In fact, in the press conference that followed the meeting, Chairman Powell was asked about, you know, is it time to start talking about tapering? And Powell said something like, it's not yet time to talk about tapering. So in other words, we're not even close to even thinking about it. And kind of market reaction, you know, we saw treasury yields fall in the short end, 3 month euro dollar curve move lower, and the US dollar weakened. And that seems to all kind of be signs that market believes the Fed is going to remain on hold, you know, for longer than perhaps was being assumed prior to the meeting.
It sure seems like Powell is sticking to his guns here. So that was my takeaway from listening to those comments as well. So when our economic committee last met, the overwhelming majority of the group believed that tapering would not start until 2022 at the earliest. Do you think today's meeting would change that opinion in any way?
I don't think so. I think we're still going to be, or still have the opinion that 2022 is the earliest. Now, Powell did say something interesting in the press conference. When asked about inflation, he said something to the effect that if inflation rises and the Fed believes that it's not temporary, then they will use their tools. That's not what they believe. They believe inflation will be temporary. But he did point out that if inflation increases and is here to stay, such that it hampers their ability to meet their goal of price stability, then they'll use the tools available to them. And I would believe that that means they begin to take liquidity out of the market, and that most likely comes in the form of reducing their asset purchases. But as it stands right now, I don't see any reason why or any reason to change our projection that the earliest that the Fed tapers is 2022.
Okay. All right, Marco, that's really informative. Thanks for your thoughts on this. I think we're going to have to keep an eye out on that jobs report later on this week, too, to see if that affects any thoughts of tapering going forward. So thanks a lot.
You bet.
Next, I'm joined by Mohammed Ahmed, a member of our structured products team, who is going to provide an update on the commercial mortgage-backed security market. So welcome, Mohammed.
Hi, thank you.
Mohammed's been with AAM now for almost 15 years, and he's responsible for the surveillance and scenario analysis of all of AAM's structured product securities. So Mohammed, one of the most discussed asset classes during the COVID crisis has been CMBS, as you know, given the big drop in mobility outside of the home. So let's start with the big picture here. What's going on with commercial property prices, and what segments in the sector are performing best and worst?
Commercial property prices actually have year over year since last March really have gone up at about 7.8% for 2020. And you know, in comparison to the year prior, they had gone up about 6.8%. So, you know, last year in terms of property prices, really, they have actually done well. There are, of course, better, you know, better sectors that are performing better in terms of property price appreciation, such as your apartments and industrial that are low volatility sectors and well leased, and they are very essential commerce a part of the economy. That's why they've been doing well. On the other hand, you have your retail and retail and hotel sector, which has suffered, and you know, there's been cash flow distress in that sector.
Okay, so you mentioned the hotel sector. What can you tell us about distressed selling in that space? Has there been a lot of it?
There has been some amount of distressed selling in the hotel sector specifically. And the reason for that is the cash flow distress in that sector is the magnitude of that is quite high. Some of these properties have, you know, that are, you know, 40-50% now versus, you know, at the start of the pandemic, you know, the properties really were 90-95% vacant. So that puts a lot of stress on the balance sheets of these, you know, property owners. And that's why now, you know, if they're running out of cash or they're unable to put in more equity, there has been some distressed selling, especially in that sector.
Okay. So one of the areas that we highlighted during our 2021 outlook was Class A CMBS properties. Scott Edwards, who leads our structured products team, mentioned that you and the entire structured group were closely analyzing the underlying securitization in that subclass. So what can you tell us about collateral in this segment?
Firstly, the talking about fundamentally what this collateral is better, because of course the Class A office space we actually invest in is located in key locations. They have very good locations, low levered properties, and the other thing is that about 2/3 of these properties have been built after 2000, so within the last 15 or 20 years. What that means is some of these properties, a majority of these properties will have very good amenities for the tenants, and tenants are likely to stay in these properties rather than move. As the construction in some of the larger cities actually slows down due to the pandemic, the lease rollover can be better managed.
Okay. So, Mohammed, maybe you can talk to us about the refinancing of this area of the market. What's the maturity wall look like for conduit loans and single asset, single borrower loans?
The maturity, actually, the refinancing loans that are up for maturity in the next couple of years is very manageable, especially in 2021. It's about 13 or 14 billion. Depending, there are some loans that are coming due from 2020 vintage that are 5-year term loans, as well as the conduit loans from 2011-ish vintage that are actually coming due at their 10-year maturity.
Okay.
It's about a third of the conduit issuance for this year, so that's very manageable. And I think, lending environment gets a little better, that the CMBS market can handle it, or they can find financing by interest.
Okay, so is that like a strong technical then for the asset class, given that there won't be a lot of new supply in 2021-2022?
Yes, it continues to be a positive technicals, and we expect spike tightening, and in terms of the sector we like, again, as I said, single asset deals that have low leverage, higher subordination, those make sense.
Okay. So, Mohammed, what's going on with delinquencies? Have they peaked, or are they still rising here?
Delinquencies, at the start of the pandemic, we have seen some of these properties actually go through a significant amount of stress, and some of the higher volatility sectors like hospitality and retail especially had seen, their delinquencies go up by double digits, and now we're starting to see an improvement, some liquidation and some curing of these loans as the sponsors put in more equity into these properties, and currently, 60-plus day delinquencies for the CMBS sector stands at about 6% and improving.
Okay. Well, that's somewhat encouraging. So well, let's wrap up by talking about appraisals. When do appraisals become important in the analysis of CMBS, and how are they trending, and what does that mean for loss severities?
So what happens in the CMBS market is about 60, 120 days after a loan goes delinquent, the servicer on these properties actually starts to look at appraisal because they want to stop an advancing. If a borrower doesn't pay for the first 60 days or so, the servicer advances on these and recovers them later from the borrower. If they deem them unrecoverable, they try to get reappraise these properties, and going forward, they'll advance only up to that amount. The way we look at these appraisals, newer appraisals or the appraisal reductions in this case, is they are a good measure of where the loss severity can be if a loan is liquidated. However, we feel that it's a little overstated, of course, because these properties are being appraised in a distressed environment.
Well, that's really interesting, Mohammed. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today, but thank you for your views on this market. I'd also like to thank you, the listener, for taking the time to listen to our podcast. If you have any questions, please reach out to your portfolio manager or our marketing team at aamcompany.com. During our next podcast, I'll be joined by Marco and a member of our investment team to discuss a timely issue affecting the fixed income markets. Thank you.